Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Were you complaining on going to the rehearsal for Adriana's music video?
No. Yeah, I'm like, what am I
about? Happy fucking New Year. It's 2023. Can you believe it? I can't even believe it. It feels like the last few years have been like a real troll in so many ways. It feels like, honestly, the big man up in the sky could just rip open the clouds right now and be like, LOL, you've been in hell since 2017. And I'd be like, you know what? You got me. I had my suspicions, but you got me. But here's hoping. Here's hoping that 2023 brings something a little bit different for us all. Fingers and toes crossed on that one. This episode is going to be part two of the continuation of the incredible episode that I did last week, where I asked some of your favorite podcasters and internet people which thing they were going to be leaving in 2022 from the pop culture space. And yeah, we're back again with our second and final part. I'm really excited. You're going to be listening to Beyond the Blinds, my friend Brittany Pierre. She has a great TikTok. You know, the whole more, many more. Okay. Two more. But I'm going to leave those up to you guys to check those out. But also, as last week, and really with any episode that I have a guest on, the information for the guests is in the episode description, and they're in order, so you can find links to all of their socials and all of that. But before we get into the main event, I just wanted to talk about a couple things, just, you know, soft launch myself back into the podcasting space, because I had a whole 5 days off. I cannot even believe that I'm saying this. It's wild to me. This is like by far the longest I've taken off, even having gone on vacations since I started the podcast. And it's just like wild that it's been so long, but we're back, baby. We're back. I really wasn't even going to talk about anything, but two things happened. One, another incredible episode of Real Housewives of Miami that I'll get to in a second. But two, we ended the year, Greta Thunberg, so clean. Can I get a hell yeah of 2022? Like, just at the end, just rolling into the end of the year, Greta, 19-year-old environmental activist Greta Thunberg, came through with, I mean, bitch, give it up. I mean, I can't imagine that you don't know the story by now, but if you don't, I'm going to have to tell it because it's just so good. It's just so good. I'm so proud of my girl. Let's get into it. Y'all know who Greta Thunberg is, right? Like, she's that young Dutch, I'm assuming. I don't know. She's got braids. Girl who is very mad at all of us because we've been ruining this earth. And she's not happy. She's not happy about it at all. She was on Twitter just minding her damn business, as she's wont to do. So you guys know that, you know, Twitter has been, I mean, just a real hellscape for several weeks now because of that South African bitch that I just, like, I can't even get into him. cleansing breath. But he's been running or something Twitter for quite some time. And as part of that, he's bringing all his girls back, all the white supremacists, all the people who were banned for doing like morally reprehensible things. He's like, come on back, girls. The party's over here. And one of those people who was unbanned was Andrew Tate, a just incredible misogynist. Like, if you are of the kind, and I imagine that probably 97% of this podcast listenership is, that you hear somebody say, oh, I listen to podcasts, I love Joe Rogan, and you internally cringe inside, or maybe outwardly, you know, it would be fair. Andrew Tate is that kind of dude. He's like a total misogynist. He is like racist, just like a lump. I think he does boxing, kickboxing, ultimate fighting, or he pretends to. I don't know. He's just like one of those, like the ultimate douchebag that you could possibly imagine. That is Andrew Tate. He's got an incredibly large following of young men who are like in the manosphere, who are like incels. That kind of vibe. So he was let back into Twitter's hellscape, and for some reason he decides to take a swipe at 19-year-old Greta Thunberg for like no reason, like just tweeting a picture of his 33 cars. Hello at Greta Thunberg, I have 33 cars. My Bugatti has a whatever, quad turbo bullshit, Ferrari bullshit, whatever. This is just a start. Please provide your email address so I can send a complete list of my car collection and their respective enormous emissions. Okay, so then she quote tweets him and responds, yes, please do enlighten me. Email me at smalldickenergy@getalife.com. Now, like, let's really unpack this. This picture from Andrew is of him with, I guess, a Bukkake. Who cares? It could be a Bukkake for all I know. But he's putting a gas. He's at the gas station. He's at the gas station putting gas into this car in a picture with, like, was it snakeskin? Ew! A snakeskin leather moto jacket and skinny jeans, and just staring at the, he looks like if somebody was like, can you draw a picture of what you think Common and who's the guy from Jason Statham? Yes. Draw a picture of what you think Common and Jason Statham would look like combined, but with your non-dominant hand. Like, the man looks wild. He sent this tweet at 4:58 in the morning. What were you thinking about? I'm gonna tweet a 19-year-old environmental activist. And she's really, ooh, I'm really gonna do that shit. Not to, like, give anybody this sort of advice, but I feel like if you're going to bully a child, you should maybe do it between the hours of, like, 8 p.m. to maybe 1:30. If you're going to do it. Now, there have also been conversations about, you know, why do we talk about people having small penises when we want to condemn people? Or even if they're very awful, we shouldn't talk about people having a small dick. Okay. I mean, sure. Sure. But, like, am I going to, like... finger wag at Greta Thunberg for, because this man came for her. You can say what it, let the chopper spray, girl. You know, or I don't know if it's some sort of steam powered chopper, but whatever you're doing, let it spray. And for what it's worth, I don't feel like anybody was talking about what he said back to her, which is this video of him in a fucking Versace or bathrobe in like a leather-bound chair in a leather-bound room with a leather-bound cigar, probably. And he goes, thank you for confirming via your email address that you have a small penis at Greta Thunberg. The world was curious. And I do agree that you should get a life, heart emoji. So he's posted a video to a 19-year-old girl in a Versace bathrobe smoking a cigar. And he's telling her to get a life. With a heart emoji at the end of it. I mean, I've never seen shit like this in my life. The audacity. But you know what? Where there's a will, there's a way. And that way it came in the form of a pizza box because turns out the authorities have been looking for Mr. Tate for quite some time on charges of human trafficking. And they were able to locate that he was, in fact, in Romania, as rumored, because of the pizza box of a Romanian pizza chain that he apparently put in the video. So, you want to check out videos of him and his brother getting arrested once they pinpointed his location. Please look. It's incredible. Just incredible work. Now, you guys know that I am obsessed with people who go so hard in step one and clearly don't ever think about step two. They never cover their tracks. And they're just like, well, I guess we'll just see what happens when people find me. You know, your regular scammers, your Caroline Calloway's back, you guys. Back and trying to manically sell what I'm assuming is a 3/4 box of tarot cards that she found in the, probably on her floor somewhere, and was like, I really need to make a quick buck, and so I'm going to be selling tarot cards with messages or my signature on them, and I'm going to mail them to people for $15 a pop. And she also claimed to have some sort of documentary or something, I don't know, some sort of production coming out about her, but they haven't paid her yet. So, you know, it seems like nothing's changed with our girl. Anyway, the point is, like, bro, why the fuck would you be going tit for tat on a public social media platform with anybody when you're on the fucking run? You fucking idiot. Like, are you serious? You're so stupid. And you know what? Oh, that little braided girl got the last laugh by saying, this is what happens when you don't recycle your pizza boxes. Wow. Well, incredible work. Hell yeah. Oh, and by the way, to make the story even sweeter, apparently Romania just recently or in the fairly recent past passed a human trafficking law, and the acronym for that law is Greta. God bless. God bless. All right, let's get into my mini recap of Real Housewives of Miami. I am pretty sure, 95% sure, that next Monday I'll be replacing the Winter House and Kardashians recaps that I was doing. Oh, by the way, Kardashian drama. It looks like, oh God, you guys, I really hate, I should have launched this a little bit softer, but seems like Chris and Corey may have broken up. I am devastated. And yes, I am laughing, but I'm not kidding. I'm devastated. Their love, or whatever the fuck that was something that could not be matched. I loved their, curvy, soft thighs. I loved their matching ensembles when they would be on Tommy Hilfiger's yacht. I loved their, you know, Met Gala appearances. And, you know, it's just really going to be tough for me. I miss Corey. Like, how was Corey? How were Corey and Kylie going to navigate their relationship with each other? Because they were quite close. Like, how was all that? Like, how am I going to work it? Why didn't they tell me? Why wasn't I sat down and told about this? I'm this better not be true. Where was I going with this? And I'm really all turned around. Oh, Miami. Oh yeah. So I will be replacing Miami with Winter House and Kardashians, and for Monday's episode. So yeah. With that, let's do our mini recap, because, God, these episodes are incredible. And I'm actually really surprised that they, I don't know, I think we need to bring our girls up to the big leagues, a Bravo. And I also feel like maybe it was a mistake to, I don't know, do you guys think it was a mistake to release 4 episodes all at once? Because I think, I don't know, I feel like they were maybe not expecting people to be as into the season, but I am just flabbergasted at every turn of what we're watching. So let's get into it. Last we left, and I, by the way, you guys, I did a whole Miami recap Friday's episodes. It was about the first 6 episodes of Miami this season. And then, yeah, now we're doing episode 7. So last time we left, Lisa, the girls were in Key West. Lisa had to leave early because her whole shit got torn to fucking pieces in a matter of what seems like 36 hours. And, you know, it's real bad. Marina, the mother-in-law, and the kids are out in the garage, in the driveway. New 25-year-old girlfriend's being shuttled into the back of the Rolls Royce with the driver. The nanny's, Lisa's trying to get the nanny to get into the main bedroom, but she's been relegated to the guest house. It's just been a total shambles. Alexia and Julia are still getting into it over Alexia just being like, oh, you and all Russian women are prostitutes, and whether or not dating a drug dealer, as Alexia did, is more morally corrupt than being a Russian prostitute. Which we have to clarify, Julia has never been. So, but then Alexia hits Adriana with a little by saying, actually, I think the most morally corrupt thing would be dating a man who's already married, which they have been claiming Adriana has been doing with this new man, Terry. They've been saying, oh, he's married and he's got 3 whole kids and watch your back, girl. Now, Adriana, I still don't understand, or I don't think she understands the point. She keeps saying, all of these women are married or they have partners, and why don't they just leave me alone and try and be happy? I'm trying to break through my 4-month rule of, you know, and trying to get laid here. Why don't they just leave me alone? It's like, well, they are looking out for your best interests. They are trying to make sure that you aren't actively pursuing a relationship with a man who has a wife and a family. I think that's fair. I don't think they're like really trying to dog you out here, but you seem to act like they're attacking you and like they have it all. Why can't they just leave me with my crumbs? And it's like, okay, kind of giving that you maybe just want, you don't care if he's married or not, which maybe you should just say that. Just seems like if you're a grown ass woman who's making a big deal about a 4-month rule before you have sex with somebody, you would also care about whether or not they were married legally, but I don't know. Anyway, Alexia and Julia are going at it, and truly out of nowhere. Like, I rewound it, and there was no context to this. Alexia just says, well, I'm always going to be in the spotlight because I was born a star. What? So Gertie makes a face. Kind of like, remember the face that Portia made when Kenya told everybody that she constantly gets stopped in the street because people think that she's Beyonce? Kind of like that. So Alexia actually catches Gertie looking, making that face, and she goes, why are you looking like that? You don't think I'm constantly in spotlight because I'm a star? What's your issue? So now Gertie's getting sensitive once again, and I feel like she 60% has a point, but then 40% is just like, things get really lost in the shuffle with her. And I also think because this happens so frequently, people have less patience for her, which ends up once again in like a Jan Brady situation where people don't really respect her. I think Gertie maybe needs to get down to the bottom of why she feels so disrespected by Alexia and talk about that, because then she ends up bringing up all this little stuff that doesn't really make sense. When I think there's really like, there's a base going on there. There's a foundation of like, she clearly feels some type of way about the way Alexia treats her. And then everything is like, now Alexia is like the bitch eating crackers to her. But all people hear is this little stuff that doesn't make sense. You know what I mean? So we find out that it's Formula One weekend in Miami, and Lars is going to be hosting a party at the Versace mansion. They've spoken to Lisa. Lisa wants to hang out that weekend, but the girls are like, we don't think that's a good idea. Lenny's already made it pretty clear that he's going to be out with his new girl during Formula One weekend, and the risk of them running into each other is just like, ugh, not worth it, right? Lars is like, I think she should go and live her best life. I don't see what the issue is. God bless her. So then Gertie, and this is what I mean, she starts getting activated at the table about how, you know, everybody gets the microphone. Some people get the microphone and everybody listens, but then other people get the microphone and not everybody cares. And they're just like, wait, where is this all coming from? Everybody's confused. Kiki gets it exactly right, which is that, like I said, instead of saying the problem is directly, Gertie will talk around the issue. She'll make all these facial expressions, pull her face and all these, you know, Jim Carrey-esque ways, and expect everybody to understand what she's really trying to say. So then, later we see Adriana calling Terry. Terry, the boyfriend in training or something. He's on a 240-day trial period. 120. Okay, don't come for me. That was 6 months. And I hear it now, 120-day trial period. But like Alexia said, this man's married. Marisol is the one who told me. So she calls him on FaceTime. They're walking to dinner. She's with Julia and Kiki. And she gets him on speakerphone and is like, hey, I know that your mom just died. Hasn't even been buried yet, but just wanted to check in because everybody's asking and saying that you are married. So what's good? He says, I've been separated for 5 years. And so she's like, okay, but are you legally separated? Are you divorced? He goes, divorced? No. It's been 3 years. So have you been divorced for 3 years? Yeah, no. Okay. I would never do that to you, like, if I were in a relationship. Okay. I guess. Why would you say I've been separated for 5 years if you've been divorced? You know, why don't you just say I've been divorced for 3 years rather than I've been separated for five? Which, you know, because the divorce is clearly the more final. Like, that's the one I want the answer to. I don't give the separation. I don't care. I just need to know when you got divorced. You feel me? I love that Kiki was trying to pull Julia away from the conversation so that Adriana could have a private moment, but she just stood there. She's like, oh, yeah, we should leave. No, but just hold on. Just going to stand here real quick. Listen, I'm not going to move. Okay, yeah, I'm going to listen here. Thank you. So when she gets to the table, Adriana's feeling like super confident, right? She's telling the ladies, hey, I'm going to film my music video for Fire. It's going to be on a yacht. You guys are going to be doing choreo. You're all going to be, you know, invited and actively participating in this music video. And I just like was wondering, did they know about this prior to it? Or were you just announcing that they were going to be in the music video and that they had to learn choreography? Baby, am I getting paid for this? Like, am I getting wardrobe, makeup? Like, what's happening? But then she tells the ladies, oh, I just got off the phone with Terry. Julia and Kiki heard. This is what he said. He said he's been divorced for almost 3 years at this point. And Alexia and Marisol are like, uh-huh. Are you sure? Because, Alexia, I just happened to have a screenshot of the man's marriage license just at the ready on my phone. This is wild. This is a wild thing to do to somebody. And this is what Adriana doesn't understand. You should be upset that Alexia has this man's marriage license on her phone, downloaded, and probably in a folder so that she could open it. It might even be in like a quick launch button on her home screen. That's what you should be mad about. Not the fact that she's, like, trying to protect you. I mean, this is not protection. She's trying to embarrass you. But this is what you should be mad about, Adriana, if you're listening. Somebody at the table was like, well, you got this online, but, you know, how often do they update their records of a marriage license? And I think Kiki goes, well, must be 3 years. So Alexia says in a confessional, I got that from miamidade.gov. Okay, that's my source. So, my God. So then the ladies get a call from Lisa. And she's like, you know, I'm back in the house. I was looking around. I found some evidence. I looked in our movie theater. There were two bottles of wine. you know, things are not good. But Marisol says in a confessional, I never liked him. Lenny, never liked him. And you know what? Lisa told me that a lot of people also felt that way, that they also didn't like Lenny. So now I feel better because now I know I'm not the only one. Once they get off the phone with Lisa, Alexia says that, listen, right now, Lenny and Lisa are both really vulnerable in the moment. And Julia goes, he can shove it up his ass. Like, damn right, Julia. Like, fuck him. Hey, vulnerable? Please. The man has never been vulnerable in his life. He's been vulnerable to skin cancer. and too tight pulling of his face. That's about it. And I gotta say, shout out to Princess. We were talking about, like, you know, if you're gonna be a city girl, you gotta do it right, okay? Listen, let's get into the, you know, let's just be honest here. This is a safe space where we can be, like, pretty transparent about the situation, right? Okay? Okay? Listen, not a one of us, okay? Not a one of us thought that Lenny and Lisa were gonna make it, I mean, shocking that they made it to the 15-year mark. Truly a miracle that they made. These people were not written in the stars. They're not dancing with the stars. Nothing about this relationship was anything but an agreement and an arrangement and something that was wrapped up in something that looked like a family. These were two people that had two children together, which is the difference, okay? Let's just be real here. With that being said, the way this is playing out, and the way that Lenny is just absolutely fucking wilding, is, like, shocking. Truly shocking. Do I feel bad for Lisa? Ish. But here's, like, if you're gonna run game like this, here's where Lisa fucked up, okay? Lisa fucked up by marrying this man too young. I didn't watch a whole lot of the early seasons of Miami. I think I watched 1 and 2, or maybe 1 and 3, and then I dive in. So I don't know their whole story. But I'm assuming, through my Google search, that Lenny was not married prior to his relationship with Lisa. They met when she was, like, a 20-year-old cocktail waitress or something. And here's the thing. With a man like Lenny, you gotta be wife number 3, okay? Because you can't marry a dude like, because he's what, 56, she's 30, 26, okay, so he was like, maybe like 40, mid-40s when they got married, right? That's too old. Because you want to have kids, it's like the 20s and 40s is too much of a difference. It just doesn't, it's not gonna come out that way. It's just not gonna work out that way, right? So here's what you gotta do. Like, you got to be wife number 3. You got to meet him when you're in your 30s. Because the first two girls are always going to be in their 20s. He's going to want to get that thing back. But then after wife number 2, he's not going to be able to do that anymore. So he's got to get a little older. And he's got to start settling down. You know, in his, you know, mid to late 50s, early 60s. Because he's a young boy up until then. But this is, you got to be wife number 3 with a guy like Lenny. And that's just free game. From me to you. But with that, like, I'm gonna offer you some more free game. With that, you gotta come correct, right? Because he probably had kids with at least one, but probably those two other, you know, bitches, I'm using air quotes, in his past. And so, you know, you can't come wanting kids. So, you know, he's already paying private school for 2, 3, 4 kids at this point, maybe even 5. He can't afford it, right? So you got to come, like, with a career of your own, at least some kind of fashion blog or something like that, and be able to buy nice things. But, like, he will. He'll get you a Birkin, like, maybe once or twice a year. That's all you can expect. You're not getting the Piaget watch like a girlfriend number 2. That's not happening, okay? You're going to have to lower your expectations. He'll still treat you nice. And he'll be grateful that you're not bringing in any snot-nosed kids. So you'll get, like, the nice vacations and things like that. You guys will have a much easier life. It's just his dick's not going to work. And you're not going to get as much money. So, you know, we all have to compromise. And we all just have to be honest about meeting each other where we're at. So, again, free game lesson from me to you. I'm sorry. And I'm going to tell you another thing. in terms of your expectations, okay? He's not going to get you a new house, okay? You're going to get maybe 50 to 100K on the renovation and spend it wisely. And he will be grateful. You're not going to be happy, but it'll work, okay? That's my word to the wise for if anybody wants to be Lenny's third wife, just there you go. Okay, so the ladies go to a shaman. They all think he looks like baby Jesus. Larsa was concerned that he would be able to walk on water. Didn't seem like that was going to happen. Everybody ends up crying. He gives them an activity, which they are supposed to talk about what they let go of. I don't really think anybody adhered to those rules. It just seemed like a lot of tears and a lot of, like, them just, like, letting it all out, which, you know, good for you. I just don't think that they were following the rules. Anyway, what happens after that? Okay, so Adriana has a rehearsal, or attempts to have a rehearsal at the dance studio for her music video. The only person who arrives out of all the housewives is Kiki. Kiki in a leather, kind of Aaliyah-inspired cage halter top or something. It was giving. I was just very confused. But Adriana's not happy because nobody but Kiki showed up. For some reason, her music video director, a guy with a camera strapped to his back, and what I'm assuming is the assistant of the director or something, show up to this dance rehearsal, and the music director is pissed. What are we going to do tomorrow? They're not coming to the rehearsal, and now they're not going to be prepared for the choreography. How are we going to make this work, Adriana? Like, whoa. First of all, what is the cameraman doing here? First of all, who are you? Who are you? You're not McG. You'll be fine. Sir, this is not Candace Dillard Bassett here. The stakes are low here. The stakes are very low. We're working in the, I mean, this is not even Countess Luann. We're maybe in a, like a ring didn't mean a thing. Not even a don't be tardy. This is a ring didn't mean a thing territory. You'll be fine. So then we cut to Larsa, Marisol, and Alexia, who are all having lunch together when they should be at the rehearsal for Adriana's music video. And they're like, yeah, no, it wasn't gonna come. Alexia at one point is like, I'm Cuban. I'll just pick up the music or the dance. It's fine. Larsa was like, I wasn't gonna go to that. Are you kidding? No. At the end of the episode, y'all, we get all of this tea. Like, I can't even believe it. So, okay. They're at lunch, right? Larsa tells the girls they went out that weekend. It's Formula One weekend. She went out with Lisa. They ran into Lenny at the club. Things got ugly. So then we see Lisa having lunch with Marina, her mother-in-law, Lenny's mama, right? Not only does Marina apologize to Lisa for what's going on, she's like, I don't understand what's happening. It must be a midlife crisis with Lenny because I just can't make sense of what else could be happening with him. Well, Lisa says in a confessional that it's embarrassing. Like, at this point, Lenny is being really embarrassing. He's a public person behaving real performatively in the public space, and she just doesn't understand why he's acting like this. Like, why is he going around the city of Miami flaunting this new relationship? But Lisa tells Marina that she ran into Lenny and his new girlfriend, and she went up to them, was like, Lenny, what are you doing? Girlfriend, why are you being a homewrecker? What's wrong with you? Why are you so evil? And then that girl just licked her lips. And Marina's like, I'm disgusted. How could he do this? How could he do this? So then Larsa tells Alexia and Marisol her side of the story, which is that she was just sitting in the VIP or whatever. She looks over, sees Lenny walk in with his girlfriend, and is like, oh shit, about to have a heart attack, right? So she texts Lisa and was like, hey, where are you? And Lisa's like, I'm in the bathroom. And all Larsa's like, fuck, she's obviously going to have to leave the bathroom. They're going to run into each other. This is not great. And so then she just, like, kind of saw what happened. Lisa was recording. Not good. By the way, I think you guys can go to probably Queens of Bravo or type it into Twitter or something. You could see this video You can see the video. Lisa, literally in the middle of a club, the girl's standing there. She's circling around Lenny, like, what's going on? He's like, has a very strange reaction. He's kind of telling her to, you know, chill, leave me alone or whatever. But his reaction is so, like, calm. Smiley, almost, like trying to be sweet. It was an odd reaction, but this is an odd situation for sure. She says, I lost it. You can see that video, you guys. Oh my gosh. So then Lisa says, I really should have known the first time he cheated. And then we see a flashback from last season's finale, or a reunion rather, where Lisa's telling this story. She's been telling this story about how Lenny emotionally cheated on her 8 years ago. She found text messages, blah, blah, blah. At one point, Lenny said, I'm not in love with you anymore. Lisa falls to the ground because this man is her whole world. It's just like a whole situation. Not great. So they're like, Larsa, Alexia, and Marisol are like, okay, like, don't you feel like this has been going on for longer? It's just so abrupt. I just feel like Lenny's probably been dropping hints to Lisa for a long time, and she's been ignoring it. And that maybe he started to be like, hey, you need to start telling your friends. You need to start going public with this, because I'm about to go public with it. So the episode ends with Larsa being like, oh, hey, guys, you guys want to hear some more tea? My friend reached out to me and said that she found Julia at surf club making out with some man. just slide that in real quick. Just real quick. Oh, my God. I cannot wait to find out what happens. Ooh, oh, my gosh. Okay. The rest of the episode, you guys, is so fun. So fun. I'm excited for you guys to listen. I hope you like it. Once again, check out the episode description for the links to everybody's social. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank me for Should speaking. Old acquaintance
be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot?
All right, you guys, welcome to the stage. Brittany Pierre. Hi, girl. How are you doing?
Hey, girl. Hey, how are you?
Oh, you know, it's been a year. It really, really has. And I really felt compelled to ask you this incredible question that I created all of my own. What are you leaving in 2022?
Well, Kara, like, there's just so many things that need to be left behind. I am going to start off with Andy Cohen. I need him to stop hosting Housewives reunions.
Wow. Okay. This is really great, Brittany, because I was thinking of a list of my own, and that was the first thing that came to mind. And very specifically, I was like, Andy Cohen, and I need him to stop hosting his reunions. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yes, let's do that.
You know, I think he's run his course. What are your feelings about this?
Yeah, I just feel like it was fun in the beginning, but now it's been like 15 years now. And I just feel like he has too much of allegiance to certain housewives. And also when it comes to like women of color, he just doesn't have the mental capacity or just the knowledge to ask certain questions that people might have. Right. Like, even when you have, like, Beverly Hills, like, there was just a very big, complex issue that was happening. And Andy Cohen wasn't the messenger to, like, sit there and figure it out. And it's so apparent because how much of a backlash happens afterwards. So, yeah, I just feel like it's time. It's time for some, like, just shake it up a little bit, you know?
What do you think would make for a good host? You don't have to be specific about who you think should do it, but what do you think it takes?
Yeah, I know. Like, because I watch so many other reunions and I'm always like, Love is Blind reunion is so bad. Like, I have so many ideas how they can make that better. Mm-hmm. I definitely need someone that knows the show, because there are some housewives, like other shows that have reunion hosts that don't watch the show. Clearly, they just have notes that people give them. Mm-hmm. And have a vast knowledge to talk about complex issues when it comes to race and, you know, other really difficult, challenging topics to discuss. I just don't think Andy's the one for it.
Do you think that we could keep him on for lack of a better term, a lower tier show? Like, if Housewives is top tier, uh-huh, and everybody else is below them, like, do we keep him on for Summer House?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Oh, this is great. And also, I would like to just tack on to this. Can we stop with John Mayer? Can we just not, like,
oh my God,
we're being force-fed this relationship with John Mayer. I don't care. It is on site with that man. I don't see it for John. I don't see it for him since he said in that Rolling Stone interview that he had a Benetton heart. And I just don't know why we keep forcing this issue, like, he's fucking America's sweetheart when he's not. And I need Andy to stop, and I need Andy to stop with these cavalcade of white straight men and whatever Michael what's his face is, Rappaport, whatever creature he is. enough.
We've had it, like, we don't even ask for these guys to be on the show. I don't understand why that, and it's like Michael Rappaport's on like at least once a quarter. It's too much.
He stays posted up outside of the Watch What Happens Live studio. I don't get it either.
He's not funny. He doesn't bring anything to the table. Like, I have a personal vendetta against him, so I definitely
As we all should. Oh my God. Okay. So what was next on your list?
Next on my list is, I am tired of Pete Davidson's love life. I like, it's so predictable now. The fact that we can kind of predict who is going to date next.
Yeah.
Is just, it's so, I don't know. I just want him to shake it up a little bit. Like, give us someone that we did not expect. Like, date Cher. Like, I'll be like, what? He's dating Cher? That would blow my mind.
Well, Cher's taken, as you guys all know. She's now dating Amber Rose's baby daddy, not Wiz Khalifa, the other one. and so that's a whole thing. But yeah, who would you be excited to see Pete Davidson date outside of Cher?
Okay, so this is a controversial opinion, but I would love, this would break the internet, if he got with Hillary Clinton, if he was the reason Hillary finally left Bill Clinton and she had like this wild hot girl summer and started dating Pete Davidson for like a hot second, I think that would break. We would all collectively be like, what universe are we on and how did this happen? What is going on? But I want Hillary to just have one like good summer, you know, one last good summer. Like,
honestly, you know. I don't know who I could have possibly expected you to say, and Hillary was not one of them.
I know. I mean, he had a tattoo of her, so I feel like.
I really love that. Who was your favorite ex girlfriend of, or who's your favorite relationship of Pete's?
I still love his relationship with Ariana.
I know. It was so good.
Yeah, it was.
It was just like the perfect amount of chaos. It didn't make sense. I love that she like very quickly got this very expensive apartment on the High Line in New York. He was like, I cannot afford to live here, but I will. That was a lot of fun for me.
It was. I wanted them to get married and have this crazy wedding. Yes. That just didn't make sense, but I get why it didn't work out.
I wanted them to get married so bad.
Yeah. I knew the wedding would be fabulous.
The wedding would have been one for the books, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Oh my gosh. Okay. What? Okay. All right. What do you got next for me, girl?
Next is the Cuff It Dance.
Great. I love that.
Because. It's enough is enough, you know, like everyone has done it.
Yeah,
it's just and no one does it right, and it's all over my feed, and I'm just like, we've been doing this since September. I need you guys to move on.
We really have. I still get a real kick out of the Housewives doing it, and this reminds me, I've got to post one of Ashley Darby right after we hop off this. But I'm totally with you. I mean, what I don't understand, one of the greatest mysteries of life is, how is that dance so easy and yet everybody gets it so wrong?
I don't know.
It doesn't
make sense. I really do not know. And the funny thing is, because I watched someone when it first like went viral, there was a girl who was like struggling, like she kept making videos of her progress. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, wait a minute, can I even do it? And so like I did, I watched myself do it. I was like, okay, I can do it. This isn't difficult for me, but apparently it is very difficult for everyone else.
It seems to be a struggle. I mean, it is hard for me to say goodbye to the Housewives doing it. I really loved Nene. Nene was a favorite. Teresa Giudice was a real good one. That was something. And didn't she just do Dancing with the Stars? She had just done it.
Teresa's not someone that takes notes and keeps that, you know?
That's a very kind way of putting it. You're right about that. Oh my gosh. Okay. Hit me again. What you got, girl?
My next one is the discourse on Nepo babies.
Oh, okay. A fresh one. I have yet to read the article, but it is in my window. Was the article worth the read?
The article is worth the read. But you know, like, any person that knows pop culture very well knows that, like, Hollywood is, like, its roots are in nepotism. I don't know why this is such a big issue for everyone to comprehend. Like, everyone in Hollywood is related to someone famous.
I agree. Like, we're acting like, you know, these kids just cropped up. Like, we can go back just one generation and write this story all over again. Like, it's fine. Like, you know, so many people, like Drew Barrymore, like we can get into that. Like, indeed. I mean, like we really want to talk about it, but I agree. Like, people are acting like this is brand new information and I'm confusion.
Right. And I get it. They're like, but they're not really good at their jobs. Yeah. Like there's a lot that are not very good at the job. Right. Like it's not surprising that they would get the job and not do really well at it. And and every time they like ask, you know, one of them, like, well, how do you respond to like the nepotism discourse? And then they give a really bad answer. And it's just like, you guys are setting them up for failure. Like,
I agree. And I'm going to do like possibly a hot take, but I think you're going to be on my wave about this. Mm-hmm. So with all the colorism conversation surrounding Real Housewives of Potomac, a lot of people are calling for, you know, the Green Eyed Bandits and Ashley and even Karen to some extent to like address these colorism issue or, you know, allegations. And to me, I just feel like they're never going to say I'm a colorist. So why do we keep asking them to?
You that know, is
like,
very true.
It's never, we're never, they're never going to say, yeah, I am, you know? So like, why do we keep making this an issue? So like the same with nepotism babies, like there's no answer that really is going to be rooted in reality because they're never going to get it. So why even bother?
They all think they worked really hard to get to where they are. And we're just going to have to accept it. They just have a very different idea of what hard working is.
Like the classic Kendall Jenner, you know, people didn't want me because of my name and I had to take my last name off of my card, you know, to separate myself from the family. And, you know, I had to work that much harder than those models because people didn't actually want me. And it's like, bitch, come on. You see your mother on the yacht with Tommy Hilfiger. Girl, you're not struggling.
Okay. But you know what? What really like cracks me up is when nepotism goes wrong. Like it just fumbles. Mm. Like going back to Housewives, like Gigi Hadid and Bella obviously became like supermodels, right? From the show. Correct. But then you have Lisa Rinna's girls and like what's happening there?
Brittany, did you see the tweet of Georgina Sparks from Gossip Girl just like calling over and over the scene where she's like calling over and over, and somebody was saying it was Lisa trying to get her kids on the Nepotism Baby article.
Oh my God, they were left out of it. Oh my God,
They
that's
sure
how much of a
did.
fumble they are.
Right. Like, girl, we don't care that Delilah, Amelia, Belle, Hamlin, whatever. You shaved your eyebrows? Okay, like we're doing this like silent movie star eyebrow. That's all you're giving. That's all you've been giving us for years. Like, listen, when you were talking about how your mom and dad weren't helpful towards your mental health journey and you had to get the nanny to help you or the housekeeper, let's talk about that.
Right?
Let's get into that, girl. But other than that, I mean, good. You know,
Right? They're
you
not.
can you can stomp down the Heatherette runway on Fashion Week, and but that's it. We don't need anything from you.
We don't. Totally don't.
Great gowns, beautiful gowns. Well, that's really it.
Don't even know if it's beautiful gowns. It's just kind of like meh gowns.
They're there.
Yeah.
They can't. We can't take that away from them. That's very true. Oh my gosh, Brittany, do you have anything else on
I
your
have
list?
one last one.
All right, I'm excited.
And it's the Kardashian and Jenners.
Oh, yep. They were the number one response last year, and honestly, I think it worked.
Yeah, I think it's slowly. I mean, we've had a lot of talk about like this might be like the end of the run for them. Not that they're going to go away completely, but I think the dynasty is starting to like retire. It needs to.
Absolutely. Yeah. The star has fallen significantly, and people really tried to come for me about that. And first of all, I also would like to end the Kardashian discourse because y'all can't have it both ways. You can't be like, "Oh, you guys have been saying this shit every year and it hasn't happened," but then also be the same people who are like, "Why are we talking about them all the time?" Listen, shut the fuck up. Like, we can't you don't exist in a world in which the Kardashians have not impacted your life in some way. I'm sorry. I know you don't like that, but it's true. Instagram, social media culture, like you could have never watched an episode of that show, but they've impacted your life in some way. And I know
Yes.
it hurts, but it's true. I'm sorry, but like that's just a fact. I'm with you. I like what could they do that I would be interested in? Or you, what would you be interested in seeing from them?
Yeah, like I honestly don't even know because it's the same thing. I've never found them to be particularly interesting. Like I was always amazed how many of my friends actually watched the show. No disrespect to anyone that watches their show, but I'm like, it just seemed really boring. But I understand they have like this glamorous life, and I love the fact that they are a very strong family knit fam, a family knit, a strong family knit. Sorry. And that's what I do love about them. Like they will always defend each other. They always have each other's back. I think that's great. But other than that, I'm like, okay, the fashion's going down.
Majorly.
The like fashion needle that they did used to push is no longer being nudged anymore. The storylines, I'm like, okay, how many times are we going to push Tristan to like have a baby with someone else? It's just okay. That's happened multiple times, and I don't know who they can date next. That's going to be like groundbreaking and interesting. I mean, how do you go after like she dated Kanye West, and he is so out there that there's no way of coming back. Like it's just so much.
I honestly don't know. I can't get it up for them, even though I recap that damn show every fucking episode that it is. I just like I don't understand what it is that they could do next that would really move the needle for anybody.
I know, and they're even like their social media is not even that great anymore. Like I used to feel like their social media was top notch, and now it's just kind of like stale, which is su surprising. I just think maybe go away for a little bit and then like have a comeback. They would have a better comeback than like Paris Hilton has been trying to do because of how long they've been around. Like their
Right.
comeback would be great.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Can you believe that we live in a world in which, like, Kathy has more star power than Paris?
Wow. I didn't even think of it that way.
Yeah. Wow. At least she does in my life. I guess I can't speak for everybody, but
I mean, it's true. The pendulum has swung with Paris to even Kim so far, yeah. And now Kathy. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Somebody had a really great TikTok talking about their social media presence and how unrelatable, and how Kylie's impact on Instagram, like back in her like heyday, doesn't transfer to TikTok, because TikTok people are looking for, like, the audience is looking for more relatability.
Right.
But when Kylie's posted up from her Birkin closet, it's just, you don't really want to see it. It just doesn't really hit in the same way.
Well, there are luxury life is still a thing on TikTok. I just think we're over the Kardashians. Yeah. I think that they're not giving us anything that's interesting anymore. So then for them to do that, we're just like, oh, we're just right. Over it. Like, because there are people who do that and we love their content for it, so
right, but there's a connection there that just isn't working for the Kardashians. Like that Danielle girl who has been like hawking the caviar with Doritos, like that's the kind of luxury that I want to get down on. You know,
well, Kim and North TikTok seems to be doing a lot.
You know what, North is carrying this family, and if you guys don't see her on TikTok, I don't know what to tell you. You're missing out so much. That little girl terrorizes her mother any chance she gets, and it's incredible. It's everything that you want it to be.
I think that what they need to do, and not yet, but the shift has to go to the next generation of the Kardashians and Jenners. Or whatever they are. I don't know what they are. They all have different last names now. But right. Like the next generation of them would be ideal. I think they will give us a fresh look into their lives in a different way.
I think constantly about the fact that the West kids don't have parents that have their last name. Like, wait, neither of their parents are West. It's weird. What? Like, Kanye's name is Ye. It's not Kanye West.
Oh.
Kim changed her name. So there are no real West to be. It's strange.
I didn't think of that either. Wow.
Yeah. Insane. I'm with you. North, you know, I've been saying this for years. She's going to be the future, but she can't do it alone. She really can't.
She can't, but she is going to dominate Hollywood. You're going to talk about nepotism, baby. That one is going to be one to watch out for.
And Penelope. I got my eye on Penelope too. In my mind, Penelope moves to New York and she just Godzilla's herself all over Manhattan. And I'm waiting for it.
She would be great. I like her. I think she has a different personality compared to North, but I like her little video vlogs and stuff like that.
She's an aesthetic girl. She really is.
See, they need to be looking at their little ones to help them with their social media presence.
Whitney Houston has a whole song about this. Kind of. She wrote that song about Northwest. I'm going to tell you that right now. She wasn't born yet, you know. It's a bit of disconnect, but she knew. She knew. And I believe that. Oh my gosh. Brittany, these were excellent selections. I really appreciate it. With every selection, everybody just makes me feel so good. This was refreshing. It honestly was.
I hope refreshing in a good way and not refreshing like this is wild. But I thank you so much for having me on the show and letting me talk about things that I really wish would stay in 2022, but I know it won't. But a girl can wish.
A girl can wish. I will light a candle for you and manifest all of this for the new year. And I hope you have a happy holiday.
I hope you do the same.
Bye.
Bye.
You guys, you know I had to do it. I had to bring the king and queen of podcasting to tell me what it is that they want to leave in 2022. Kelly, Troy of Beyond the Blinds. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Happy almost new year to us all. I think it's been a long one, especially for us in the celebrity and pop culture world. We made it. We did it. So congratulations.
We white knuckled it, but we're here.
Barely. Right. Kicking and screaming. I'm just going to let you guys rip. Kelly, I'm going to let the lady go first. What is it that you are going to leave in 2022?
Now, is it personal or entertainment-wise?
Anything you want. Anything at all.
Okay, so I want people to stop dating Pete Davidson.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I would like that to be left in 2022.
I have a question for you. What do you think, how in on the joke do you think Pete is? And this is for both of you.
I mean, I think Pete knows exactly what he's doing, but he's like so dopey that he can get away with people being like, no, Pete just falls really hard.
I feel the same way. I think that Pete knows exactly what he's doing. He's very smart. You don't just like fall into these relationships with the like over and over and over. And Pete loves attention. That man loves to be famous. People don't get it.
Yeah, I think people don't recognize that enough because they think, oh, he's ugly, so he should just be grateful. Or they believe that he's ugly, so he should just be grateful for like whatever he gets. But to me, like, he's always like, do you know at the end of Michael Jackson's Thriller music video where he like turns his head over his shoulders and it's like, oh, he was still the monster all along? That's what I feel like Pete Davidson's doing. Like, he knows. Yes. So I'm totally with you. What do you think Pete's trajectory is? Let's just say, like, even into the summer, what do you think he's doing?
To be honest, I'm not sure. Like, he has to become a movie star, and I don't know if he has a movie star quality because he doesn't have SNL anymore. Right. So he's really going to have to be a movie star.
Yeah, he's almost like in Jimmy Fallon's position back in the day, where that movie that he did with Queen Latifah, you know.
Oh, God.
What were we going to do with that?
So Lord.
To kind of go into late night, but I don't think Pete has that. Or do you think that he could be the next James Corden?
No, I don't think so. That was such a quick answer.
He could create like a different field for himself, almost like a Desus and Miro meets like traditional late night. I could be onto something here.
Well, that's so funny, Kelly, that you brought up him being a movie star, because he did. Remember, he tried that Judd Apatow movie, and I feel like people thought that was going to be, I thought it was going to be like his big movie break. Like, I was like, oh, this is it. It's happening. He's going to become a movie star. And like, who better than Judd Apatow to get him there? Cause like, he's such a Judd Apatow like star, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it like didn't happen. Like, it didn't work out the way I thought.
And I will say, he had a movie on Hulu. It was called like Adolescence. I forget what it was called, but I actually liked that better than his Staten Island movie. It was much more of like an indie film. So honestly, maybe he could do that, but indie films, like, I know you can become a movie superstar, but that's not usually like the trajectory, I guess.
Right. Yeah, he seems like he wants to be the king of the indie movies, but I don't know. I'm filing him under I don't know.
He was good in Bodies, 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 but he was playing Pete Davidson. Like, it was literally him just showing up and reading lines as Pete, like his character. Right. And he even says that line in the movie, like, I look like I fuck. People look at me and they think I fuck. Like, he was
God. Yuck. Do you feel like he hates Nicholas Braun because they're the two that are like fighting for each other's roles?
Oh, I didn't even think of that. Maybe. Kara and I did see Nicholas Braun at brunch.
We did.
You did?
What a moment. What a moment. Yeah, he was, we were at brunch, but he was walking towards Ray's, which is his bar. You know, I try not to slut shame people, but the man has ran through, you guys. I just need you to know that.
Yeah. He's so tall.
He's very tall.
Like freakishly.
Yeah, he's like 6'5" or something. It's wild. I feel like, yeah, Nicholas Braun has a Pete Davidson like voodoo doll that he just like sticks pins in. He's like, why can't I date Emily Ratajkowski? Like, why not me? You know, it probably really pisses him off.
But then all of the everything he does to the voodoo doll becomes something endearing about Pete.
Yeah.
Like another tattoo.
Yeah. I'm gonna do all of Kim's children's names on his neck. That'll get him. Yeah. Oh, that was a really, really great entry. Do you have any follow-up questions about your hatred of Pete Davidson, Kelly?
No follow-up. I don't hate Pete Davidson. I just
this
like
just in put this on radar online. Famous podcaster Kelly Williams hates Pete Davidson.
So I don't hate him. I just think he's so like overused as a tool, but people aren't sick of it yet, which confuses me.
Right. Do you think that he has like, well, is that fair? I was about to do something patriarchal, so never mind. But yeah, I'm with you. I think I'm done with Pete. Officially, I think I'm done. Also, like, what are your both of y'all's opinions? Who broke up with who between Kim and Pete?
I think Kris Jenner broke up with Pete.
Yeah, me too. I think that the breakup date had been determined sometime prior.
Right. Ooh, okay. All right, Troy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, Troy, hit me. What are you going to be leaving in 2022?
Well, first and foremost, I will have you know that my answer was P.
Oh.
Okay. So we literally did choose the same answer.
Love that.
My answer was P, but I had a backup because I figured I thought we would both choose P. I just like knew.
You knew your sister. You knew.
So my backup was lazy pap photos.
Oh, okay. Do we want to talk about Gisele Bündchen right now? Or
sure.
She can keep doing them. I want to say she can keep doing them.
So I actually want to ask you guys, because I've been seeing this on TikTok, that there's been, and I don't really know anything about this FTX trading money crypto. I don't know what it is, but I know that there seems to be a connection between Tom and Gisele and this nerdy dude who just got arrested. And there's been a lot of connections being made between Gisele fleeing the country back to Brazil, which side note, does not have an extradition plan with the United States, even though they have some sort of alliance, apparently. And there seems to be a lot of connections between this man and them, and it's not looking great. Have you heard anything about this?
I've not read anything about this.
It seems very scandalous. I'll put a link in your direction.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen headlines, but I haven't done more than click ahead. Like, I haven't clicked it.
Yeah, so the paparazzi pictures are falling into this because apparently they're finding out that she has a deal with Daily Mail, allegedly, and that she has been doing a lot of photos of her happening to direct traffic towards her newly bought mansion and just like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to be living here. But then there were some like real paparazzi pictures of finding her and her kids at the airport fucking off to Brazil. And I don't know, something about the stage pop, I guess she tried to say that those people were outside of her house. But then somebody just was like, oh, let me put her address into Google Maps. Oh, the house literally across the street has no gating. And it's just like a home. Somebody could literally like be 10 feet away. It's not like anybody was hiding in the bushes, Gisele. There are no bushes in this house right across the street. So you got caught on that one. Very strange things happening, but I'm keeping my eye on it.
Yeah, Gisele is infamous for a sort of, I don't even know if I would call it lazy. I will say an uninspired paparazzi photo. Like,
right.
You know, her walking with a pumpkin and holding it with her kid. you know, whatever the season is, she's like out walking with a big ass Christmas tree, like,
but
you
not
know.
In a Spidey way, not in a cheesy
Spidey no way. Not in a cheesy way, in a very like, you know, celebrity way, which is like annoying.
Yeah. Do you have anybody else in mind who you think is just does like bad paparazzi pictures?
I think that all of the girls right now are just like kind of lazy. Like, yeah. I think that the, you know, getting out and walking slowly to the door moment is like kind of done, especially when you're in head to toe beat. Like when you are styled, the over styling and the over, like the overdoneness of it is just so the opposite of like a cool paparazzi photo. Like it,
right.
It just takes a cool vibe out, you know?
I'm totally with you. In my mind, I'm imagining in the very beginning of the pandemic, Melissa Gorga decided to do a photo shoot of her outside.
Yeah.
Getting mail. In like the cutest athleisure. Like you can tell she did like a nice little daytime beat on her face. Like the ponytail was clearly professionally done.
Yeah.
And it's like, girl, you can't look right down at the lens. We see you. Right.
It's too much. It's like heavy. Like gone are the days of like, you know, Winona Ryder. You know what I mean? Like
right. Just
the cool paparazzi girl in her leather jacket. Now it's like so forced and so, it's so sad. I mean, Imrata has to be probably one of the worst offenders.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, my God, dude. Like, are you even pretending that this isn't something you paid money for?
Julia Fox. Also,
yes, yes.
So but it's so funny because, like, I can rock with Julia Fox's.
Me too. With Julia, it's camp.
Yeah.
But yeah, something about Imrata makes me feel like, I don't know. I just feel like the girls are never going to be a Mary Kate and Ashley outside of some building with a cigarette in their hand and like a beat up Birkin in the other. Like, they can't have that impact. The girls just aren't doing that.
You literally hit. Then you knew what spot to tickle for me. You know what
I know what you want.
I
know what you want.
That's exactly what I was trying to explain. Like, those days are over, and it's sad. I miss paparazzi pictures like that.
Yeah. Now, Kelly, I might upset you. Where do you think that Taylor and Joe fall in the paparazzi picture spectrum?
I mean.
You need a minute?
I think they look very much in love, right? Isn't that what we always hear? They have the worst paparazzi pictures.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There is no way Taylor Swift is walking down the streets of like East Village with Joe Alwyn. And only, first of all, no one's going up to them. Second, there's only one or two photos. Come on.
Mm-hmm. And she's like holding a rose or something.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, like, her album comes out 2 days later. Come on. Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Where do you guys think, which coast do you think does a better paparazzi picture, LA or New York?
Oh.
Oh, that's such a good question.
I think I just like the feel of New York better because it's like hustle and bustle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't really give a fuck if Minka Kelly is hiking.
Right. Yeah. But you want to see her like a grainy nighttime photo of her like outside of like, yeah, like Lucien or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It has a nice feel.
The New York, even when the New York pictures are like forced, they're still giving in a way, like way more than LA. Like, you know, like when Joe Jonas is out for the 3,000th time a day, he's changed his outfit 40 times and
right.
Like, in head-to-toe styled Balenciaga shit. Like, it's pretty clear. But, like, in New York, it's not as egregious, I guess.
Right. Because there's normies in the background, usually.
Exactly, yeah.
I'm totally with you. You guys, these are, like, such excellent picks. I'm just honored to have you here to share these with me. These were good ones. I really, really appreciate it.
I have one more, and I want to know what you guys think.
Go Ooh. Ahead.
Henry Cavill, okay?
Mm-hmm.
His blind item life is allegedly he likes young women.
Mm.
So he was written off The Witcher for Netflix.
Wait, are we talking like Leo Young or like?
Like teen young.
Oh.
Like high school.
Okay. So like
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So he was written off The Witcher. Superman is not coming back for any more movies, I guess. And the whole PR of the, what is it, Enola Holmes or whatever that show is that he's on with Millie Bobby Brown was about how he established strong boundaries with Millie. What do you think they're gearing up for him for 2023? That's what I know it's not like leaving him in 2022. I'm just curious what you guys think of what's happening.
That is interesting because I thought for a long time Henry had gay rumors surrounding him. So this is really throwing me for a loop. Wow. And God, Millie Bobby Brown, like, can we just... I want her out of the mouths of every significantly older man in Hollywood.
Yes.
Drake, yeah. I'm looking at you. And Henry, please. That sounds sketchy. Like, did you get the impression that they were angling, like, Millie held a torch for him, but he was like, no, I can't?
That's what it seemed like.
It felt like they were trying to get in front of a bad news story. Because there's so many rumblings about Millie Bobby Brown, you know, and like I feel like people, it almost became a real mainstream story, like with the Drake stuff, you know,
right?
People were at least like talking about like how inappropriate her relationships are in Hollywood, and I don't know. I agree with Kelly. I feel like that was weird, like that whole press, like, and that was definitely like intentional. Like they really wanted that story to get out and all the news outlets. That Henry is so protective of her and that he set healthy boundaries with her. Like, that was really weird.
That's a very weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, I guess that's not leaving him. It's just like more of a prediction. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it sounds like he needs to be left somewhere. Not in the high school.
Not in the college either. But yikes. That's yikes.
Yeah, I could see, you know, we'll keep our eye out. I could see 2023 being the year that people maybe start to like raise an eyebrow at him, or maybe he's just so hot that they won't, but I don't know.
So maybe Q1 2023, we just all keep one eye peeled on Mr. Henry.
Yes.
See what's going on. So gosh, maybe we should leave with on that note. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much for this. This was a real, real treat.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, this was
Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you both.
And to you, Kara.
Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt. Happy New Year to you, gorgeous ladies.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
You guys know I had to ask the one, the only host of Feathers in My Hair and Liz Explains, Liz Bentley. Hello.
Hi, Kara.
I'm excited about this one. I don't know quite what it is, but I know to be excited. So I'm just going to let you get right into it. Tell me what you're going to be leaving in 2022.
So I actually went for the very first thing I thought of. Right when you asked me, I like thought of something really quickly. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to stick with that instead of second guessing myself. What I'm leaving is celebrity rewatch podcasts. I do not need to hear a celebrity talk about the television show they were on for 100 episodes. Elizabeth? I don't need to hear that.
Thank you. And Apple Podcasts, you guys need to find a special category for these type of podcasts so that the regular people like me don't get run down by these numbers by fucking Kristen and Steven from the Laguna Beach. I can't
don't
do
get
it.
Me started. I actually like very, very rarely check the charts because I don't know. I don't like to receive any feedback about myself, including chart stuff. It's just, that's not for me because I can't think of anything positive. I can only spiral, which is why I'm good at these segments. But yeah, first of all, anybody that's ever been on TV is in that TV category, and it doesn't make any fucking sense.
It doesn't
anyway.
Make sense. Like, why is Vicky Gunvalson doing her business podcast, but it's in TV and film? It doesn't make sense, you guys.
It doesn't make any sense. Do I listen to some of these rewind podcasts? Sure. Usually I only listen to a few episodes because by the third episode, I'm like, okay, I think we got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
yeah, I'm with you. Like, I feel like it loses steam. Like, it starts off really hot and it makes a lot of promises. And then it's like, very quickly, here's the thing. These people aren't podcasters. So it makes it very uninteresting very quickly. I actually just happened to watch the Back to the Beach episode that they did with LC.
Yeah, I did listen to that.
I watched it on YouTube because they had a video version. I figured that would be significantly more interesting. Not sure if it was, but
Lauren looked stunning, by the way.
Beautiful. She's beautiful. She really is my basic queen. Like, I just, like, I don't have
eyebrows. Yeah. Her eyebrows, her face like looked longer than it used to, but in like a very cool way. Like, whatever she did, like, is very minimal and amazing.
She's done very nice. Whatever it is that she's done, it's done well.
Yes.
But one, I don't know if this is on the audio version, but the ads with them is like every 4 minutes.
It's crazy. I don't know
how people listen to that.
Get money, I guess, but it is crazy. And like I said, I the one that I've been like kind of enjoying is Girls Next Level, but even I don't listen to all of that. Like, I turn off a decent amount of their episodes because I just don't care that much. And here's the thing with celebrity rewatch podcasts. The ones that we really want to hear are too famous to say anything that interesting. Right. And like, that includes Kristen Cavallari and Stephen Colletti, who Stephen is actually not famous, but he wants to be famous. So he's not going to say anything really good. The ones that like will spill the beans or whatever are people like Spencer Pratt, who've been doing that for 10 years anyway. So like, truly, who cares? I don't need another podcast with Spencer being like, Lauren's actually a bitch. Like, yeah, we know Spencer. We've heard you say it. Like, there's just so little offer, and we can really blame this all on those two women from The Office, Jenna and Angela, who like made a podcast and I was like, okay, dummies, and then probably made $1 million off of it. And so everyone was like, well, I want to make $1 million just talking for 22 minutes because that's how long most of these podcasts are.
Right.
With ads, 22 minutes with ads. Right. They can record them all at once. Like, I get why they do them. I just don't need it. Like, Bethany Frankel, fucking keep it. Keep it.
Please, 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 please. Keep all of Breath Bethany.
Yeah.
But let's get back to Girls Next Level, because I think we're on the same page.
We are.
The psychological elements of this podcast are way, and their relationship dynamic between Holly and Bridget and how they view the past is so vastly different.
Yes.
Presently. And to listen and experience Holly's anger, Bridget is in of two minds. Like, first she's kind of realizing stuff.
She is realizing stuff. She'll be like, I just like, I swear to God, in the first episode, she's like, I just really like to think of everything with Hef. Like, it was a really great time in my life. And by the third episode, she's like, well, when I was pressured into group sex with strangers so that I'd be able to live there, even though I didn't want to do it in any way, shape, or form, and was actually forced to bring other girls up, and it made me feel like shit. I'm like, girly, she says she wrote a fucking book on this. I'm like, what's in the book then?
What's in the book? Release the tapes. Release the tapes. Yeah. She like is partly realizing stuff and then partly like still trying to keep this sunny memory in her mind of what happened.
Yes.
And it's real interesting. Well, if you read between the lines,
I think part of that is that I think Bridget is so nice, she's so sweet, but she's a famous person. It's a persona. And she, like, every famous person has one, right? Like, I think it's natural to her, which is why it's so endearing. But I do think, like, she's hyper aware of, like, what people want from her. And she's scared to, like, stray from that. Holly, I've been keeping up with Holly. Like, I've listened to her audiobooks, like, maybe two or three times. Like, I really liked her book. I watched some of her YouTube. So I've been, like, keeping up with Holly. And sometimes Holly confuses me because in one episode she'll be, and I get it, abusive relationships are really complicated. Holly's allowed to feel how she wants. But as somebody that's like really been keeping up with her, I still am thrown for a loop sometimes because she'll be like, Hef and I, we did not have a real relationship. That wasn't real, blah, blah, blah. And then like in the episode this week, they were talking about Barbie Bennett coming and there was a scene of Barbie and Hef slow dancing after Bridget went, or Holly went upstairs and she goes, didn't you think that was inappropriate? And Bridget goes,
no,
no. And then Bridget is very kind. She goes, actually walk me through right. why you felt that was inappropriate. And I was like, oh, that was a really good way to respond. But I'm like, Holly is a I want it both ways type of person. And yeah. like I said, I get it. Like abusive relationships are hard, but sometimes I'm like, I think Holly presents herself as over it a lot more than she actually is. And
absolutely,
that's what throws me for a loop. So Girls Next Level's pretty good, but even that, I'm like, we don't need all like, this all doesn't need to happen the way that this is happening. Like, there's just too many of them. There are too many of them.
There's too many. And I just like, I mean, there's obviously a market for them because they're very high on the charts, but I just feel like there's really not a whole lot of substance happening there, but that, you know, I don't have to listen to it. That's the beauty of podcasts, you guys. You don't have to listen.
Exactly. Like I don't listen to most of them, but I feel like every day I'm waking up and I'm reading the news of another TV person. And honestly, the ones that confuse me even more are the scripted ones. I'm like, truly, what is there to talk about for that many episodes? Right.
Like, is there behind the scenes of this particular scene? Like, how many stories can you have or even remember from that time that would be that interesting to people? I can't imagine.
And I think this is where you and I and probably many of your listeners are different from other listeners, in that I am a meta person. I actually don't care about the episode that they're watching. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care about the storyline. I care about behind the scenes, what it was like filming, what they think of it now. Like, that's how I watch TV. Like, it's my sick brain. It's how I watch TV. And so I'm like, what could they possibly have to say about The Office? Like, people ask me to recap scripted stuff all the time. And I'm like, no, like, I don't have anything to say about it. Like,
yeah, some things just have to speak for themselves. Like, there are a lot of times where I just like, don't feel like I can add anything. Yeah. And so I don't, you know?
Yeah. So leave it. I'm leaving all of these celebrities rewatching and making millions of dollars by saying like, it wasn't really like that, guys. You don't even know, guys. It wasn't really like that.
Right. And like, it's almost become like the new memoir, you know?
I mean, it's a significantly easier way to make a memoir, basically.
Yeah. It's so easy. It's like a quick little cash grab and like, get money, bitch. I'm with you. But also like, I just feel like Apple, y'all got to come up with a different category for
them. They should have a celebrity host category.
Like, 1,000%.
Throw them all in there.
I totally, totally agree with you. Oh my gosh. Do you have anything else to add? This was really good. I think you guys maybe should listen to Girls Next Level if you're looking for like read between the lines stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think it's worth listening to. I just don't think every episode is worth listening to. And I guess I feel that way for most podcasts, but when I'm feeling that way and it's like, it's going to be this subject forever, I'm like, not sure. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not sure how much longer Girls Next Level can really hold on.
Yeah. And like, no shade to the former Playmates. Like, I don't give a shit.
Oh, when they had that girl on that's married to Jeff Garcia, that football player, I'm like,
didn't listen.
I listened to some of it. And I was like, truly me no care. Like, unless you're going to be talking about like Hef being a rapist or like somebody getting drugged or like all of the bad things, like, I just don't care.
Yeah. Like, I just don't care that you guys went to like whatever club in the early 2000s and you had a great time. That's so nice for you.
Also,
don't need it recorded.
There is not nearly enough commentary on Girls Next Level about the ages, and Holly will bring it up occasionally, but I want to get on that podcast and be like, Bridget, why the fuck did you let your 18-year-old sister live in that mansion? What is wrong with you?
Right. How did you possibly think that was good?
I think she was under 18 when she first started coming there.
I believe so. Yeah.
And said they're like, I don't know. Like, it's like they're very aware of some things and like very not aware of other things. And in a way that I kind of find interesting, but also frustrating.
Yeah, I agree. And I really am just going to need Bridget to step it up a bit. Like, I get that you like looking back at your pets. And that's really sweet for you. And it's sweet for me. Like, we all love Wednesday and Winnie. I get it. But like, you got to talk about something else.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Something real, Bridget.
I just like will never be over Bridget being like, yeah, that group sex thing. It's tough. Like live on air.
Smiling through it all. Even still, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Oh my God. Well, thank you so much, Liz Bentley. This was a real treat.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me on. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, guys. You know, I had to get the legends that are Watch What Crappens, Ben and Ronnie. Hello. Welcome to the stage.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here. I'm so excited to talk to you guys. We're just going to get right into it. Tell me what it is. Are you guys going to tag team or are we doing individually? What are you leaving in 2022?
Well, let's start with Ronnie.
All right. Ronnie, you have the stage.
So what am I leaving? Like, what am I leaving from Bravo?
Anything at all. Anything from the pop culture space. What do you want to leave in this year?
Oh my gosh. What do I want to leave in this year? I think I will leave one of the Below Decks. I mean, we've got to get rid of at least one Below Deck. We don't need a Below Deck in every Below Deck Mall is going to be next. Get rid of one. I don't need them. Now they're on twice a week. I don't need them two times a week. Get rid of one.
It's so overwhelming. The straight agenda strikes again. Like, I don't know what is happening. How many are there at this point? Like seven? I honestly don't know.
Dude, I can't even count that. And I like that you said straight agenda because that's exactly what it is. Listen,
yeah.
I want you all to live your best life. Really, I do. And I love the straight shows on Bravo, but this is not your straight show channel. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll throw my people under the bus in a second. We are disgusting and we need to be told off.
I don't think we need this to be a gay and woman space only, but come on. It's like, we're bringing the husbands in. I don't need them to stay in there all week.
Yeah. We don't really need like three Below Decks that are on at the same time too. Like I love me some Below Deck. You know, the fact that it's year round is really hard, especially to recap it. But yeah, like we have Below Deck and Below Deck Adventure on right now, and they're basically the same show. It's a lot.
It's so much. You guys must be exhausted. I feel for you.
I'm not even here. Like I've actually already, these are the gases leaving my dead body at this point.
Well, those shows are actually a lot of times the most fun to cover because they're just so dumb and nothing happens. I mean,
right.
And so we could just make up stuff because, you know, we love not telling the truth anyway and just making half of our stuff up. And so like this week, Below Deck Adventure, literally nothing happens. Nothing at all. Like a guy hurt his ankle, but that's a continuing storyline from the week before. You know,
Ronnie, I don't mean to like be negative here, but you're completely overlooking the fact that the chef had to make a baked Alaska. Okay, so why don't you take that back?
And it was half an hour of the recap. So it was fun, you know. So maybe I'm changing my mind, but I've just made one at a time, you know, because it's like, here we go again. Like, it's a lot of cleaning toilets in my week.
It really, really is. Do you guys have are you allowed to say if you have a preferred captain?
Yeah,
of course we're allowed. I mean, I think my heart will always be with Captain Lee. I mean, Captain Lee is the OG. He is, but outside of the Captain Lever, I mean, Captain Lee's also stepping down from the boat, you know, sadly. So right. I think outside of Captain Lee, I don't know, Captain Carey has been really doing a smash up job in his first season. I have to say he's on adventure for those who don't know.
Right. The Aussie guy. I mean, he's gorgeous and that helps.
He's hot. He's like he helps a lot, which, you know, I love a teamwork captain. I think Captain Sandy had a better year for sure. She's redeemed herself a bit. I mean, what I like all the captains. I don't really hate all the any of the captains. They do a good job of bringing captains that you like for the most
part. Yeah.
What do you think is a good formula for a Below Deck season? What is necessary, like drama-wise or whatever, content-wise?
You know what? I think the best Below Deck seasons have had actually competent crews, because there are some seasons where everyone is like straight off of Craigslist and they're like, what's a doorknob? And you're like, oh my God, like, why am I watching these people? But when they all know what they're doing, then you can focus more on their like personal drama. And I feel like those are the best seasons.
Yeah. Because some of them become just about like, oh my God, that girl doesn't know how to set a table, you know, and then they talk about it. You know, also they copy each other a lot. So if one has a successful season with like sexual harassment, they're like, you know what we need? More sexual harassment.
You know? Yeah.
Or if there's like a big controversial racial storyline, they're like, you know what? Let's get some racists in here. That did great for our numbers, you know, and that kind of stuff. They could cut the crap out with that kind of stuff. You know?
Yeah. I mean, there was the season where there was that one stew who was so inept that she accidentally made mustard gas in the crew mess.
Yep, that was the first season I watched, and that was a lot.
That was not a great season.
I always like, my question is, why does everybody act like the laundry is the worst place to be? Because that's where I would prefer to be, frankly. Just stick me in the laundry where I don't have to talk to anybody.
I was thinking about that this morning, actually. I'm so glad you said that.
Is what the show has taught me. That's what you think you would like, because everybody's like, oh my God, I love laundry. Stick me in laundry. What do I care? I don't have to talk to anybody. No, laundry is sweaty and disgusting. You're dealing with other people's ball sacks, you know, and I mean, not their scrotums, but the sacks that hold the sacks.
Sure.
You know, everybody is like nasty under, I mean, listen, I do my own laundry and I'm disgusted. I certainly don't want to touch anyone else's. And then it's like hot and steamy and you're always, and no one's ever happy with it. And it's a lot of poly blends and crap you're having to iron.
Yeah.
No, laundry sucks. And also, who are you going to fucking laundry?
That's it. I mean, now you're asking the good questions. What position would you like to do?
Well, that's the best. I mean, I actually think laundry is a good place for fucking, because you're just there. You're right there by the crew mess. So people are always walking by, because people are always stopping in the laundry room to kind of like flirt with you, you know? So you can like, you can have like game while you're also folding stuff. But I think like the constant ironing, I think would be a challenge for me. That's like a lot of ironing. I do not love ironing. I feel like I'm not good at ironing. And I also like just resent ironing, because for whatever reason, every time I iron something, I then like hang it up on a hanger. And then 2 seconds later, the wrinkles are back, like mocking me. So I would have to deal with that every single day. So yeah.
I would want to be the chief stew, not because of the power, but because I'm a service queen and I'm good at service, but also, hate cleaning toilets. And I think that's the only service job you can have where you don't have to clean the toilets.
I agree.
How about you?
I'm still with laundry. I'm still with laundry.
You, and you are going to stay with laundry even after that pitch of how much laundry ruins people's lives.
Yeah, because you brought the sex into it, and I'm feeling like it's easy cleanup. There are towels everywhere, and you could just stick it right in the washer, and nobody would know. The evidence.
Yeah. And you don't have to deal with douchebags. I'm sorry. Like everyone on Below Deck is like, I hate being in laundry. I want to be on service. It'll be more fun interacting with guests. I'm like, you're literally bringing like baboons on board and you want to talk to them. I mean, they're just like terrible people, you know?
Yeah. That's what I like.
So are the rumors true that Heather Gay and Chris Harrington will be on Adventure? Or no?
They actually just the past two episodes featured Heather and Angie H, but on Below Deck Adventure, Angie H goes by Angela because it's a more formal show.
Stop.
And it's so funny because you know that Angie H paid for that trip. You know she did.
Of course.
And they just cut her out of the whole thing. I mean, she barely got any lines. They called her Angela. And every time she tried to be funny, they would cut away. And Heather came on like as real, you know, like trying to do this big brassy broad thing, and it was pretty cringe, but fun to watch, you know. I love a good cringe.
Okay, I'm gonna have to watch that immediately.
Oh, it's my favorite one right now. We're loving that one.
It's hilarious.
Ben, do you have something that you would like to leave in 2022?
I think I do. I'm so glad I went second, because honestly, when you asked me, my entire brain just like was like a flat line. And now I've come to life a little bit, like all this talking, and I would like to leave behind in 2022 glam squads. I am sick of them. I just, you know what? I'm not fascinated by them. Maybe this is just because I don't know. It's not part of my life. Guys, I'm just humble. But I don't know. Like, I feel like we waste so much time watching Real Housewives walk into lobbies and wear these, mainly on Beverly Hills. Let's be honest. This is really a Beverly Hills issue. Like, yeah, I just
what I'm
can't.
Hearing is that Erica ruined the Housewives franchise as a whole. That's yeah, what I
did. And I've been complaining about this for many years. I've been complaining. All she gives us are glam squads. And then because I feel like she doesn't give us herself. Who is she friends with? Who are her friends? Who are the people that she goes out to a coffee shop with? Maybe Mikey? Laya? We don't know. She doesn't give us anything but glam squads. And then what happened is the rest of the cast also was like, wait, if she's not giving anything, we don't have to give anything. So now they all have glam squads. And we have these endless scenes of like Lisa Rinna walking down a staircase, being like, oh, I love what you're wearing. What is that? That's Albert's. Oh, I love it.
One rotten puss pat spoils the whole bunch of.
It's true. A puss patted apple.
You're absolutely right. I think, like, I feel like a lot of like, Potomac doesn't do a glam squad too much when they're on vacation, probably because Mia can't afford it at this point. But I do think it brings a certain charm to it when you're just like, no pretension. We're not worried about the camera. You know, maybe people will call you a creator face bitch on Twitter, but that's real. That's real.
It's real. It's creators true. Are real.
And also it's like your creativity. Like, I want to see what you do. You know what I mean? I want to see you do your makeup. I don't want to see some professional with, you know, crazy lips do it. I want to see you do it.
Yeah. Right. New York was good for that. Like, there were always, whenever they'd go on vacation, you'd always see Ramona putting on her makeup. Also, we kind of want to see them mess up their makeup too. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
I mean, there's that.
You want to see people look crazy.
You know,
half the charm of Ramona Singer for me was that just singular curler in her bangs. As she gets ready, like, it's great, it's charming.
Or remember that time when Dorinda had the crazy lipstick on, like when they were they in Mexico or Colombia? Or they
just,
you got to be more specific.
She looked like the joke. It's like it's like a famous gif where she's like, hey.
Yeah, definitely Cartagena. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're not, if you have a glam squad, you're not going to have those moments.
Yeah,
you're exactly right. You're exactly right. This, yeah, okay.
Have to hear from the glam squads too. I mean, like Mikey, you know, Mikey seems nice and everything, but good Lord, do you really want to know Mikey's opinion on shit? I don't.
No.
Laya, like, I don't care what Laya, you're a liar. Your name is Laya. You think I'm going to trust you? No, I don't care what you think. Like, you people are not on the show. I don't want your opinions on freaking Lisa Vanderpump or whoever, you know, go away.
Yeah, the only thing I want to know for Mikey is how he's getting paid. What stray gift cards is he getting in compensation for this? I need to know.
Erica's been living on off all that money that she's been living on off. She's been living off all that money that Tom's best friend put in her account or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what all the rumors are. So, I mean, he's still got a paycheck.
See, in my mind, Mikey's getting, like, we're just going through old swag boxes and getting like a Chili's $25 gift card from that expired in 2014. Like, that's what he's getting paid for. Just hope for the best.
He's cashing in. Gift certificates from like a shitty ass gifting suite,
right,
for like a eyebrow threading place in Studio City.
He's paid in foul packs.
Ron and I once went to one of those and it was pretty grim.
Really? I can only imagine at this point.
We both still have the flashlights.
The flashlight. I'd say the flashlight was amazing.
There's usually one good thing in there. Maybe Mikey has a flashlight. Maybe he has several at this point.
He's getting paid in flashlights.
Oh my gosh. You guys, this was a real treat. Thank you so much. These were excellent picks.
Oh, thanks, Kara.
Oh, thank you. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh my God, that was so fast.
Yeah. So I'm good. I'm good for an in and out. But you guys have a happy holidays and a happy new year.
Thank you.
You're based here in LA, right?
No, I'm in New York.
Oh, yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll call you next time we're doing the crappies over there.
Yes, yeah. Please do.
We'll be there this spring, I think.
Like in May.
We'll call, see if you want to come or go out or do something.
Absolutely. I'm there. All right.
Okay,
you guys have a good night.
Have a great
day. See you too.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.